I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Outspoken, informative,
the Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
Bright and early on a Saturday morning, it's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Hope everybody having a great Saturday morning. I'm Perry White. Want to welcome everybody that is listening live on our 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area on the radio, and everybody listening and watching on the YouTube and the Facebook Live. Glad to have you guys with us. Listen, great show lined up for you guys today. We're going to talk some Southern University and SWAG softball. We're going to have an opportunity to talk to Dr. Travian Scott over at Grambling State, the athletic director at Grambling, as well as Dr. Paul Bryan over at Alabama A&M, who is the athletic director there. Get an opportunity to get some understanding of what's going on in some of those departments and where they're headed into the future, because they're hiring basketball coaches. We have coaching changes all across the conference, but at the same time, we get a chance to talk some Southern University football today, as well as today is the spring game on the campus of Southern University at A.W. Mumford Stadium. That game is going to start at 1 o'clock. And as you know, in the past, we've had defensive coordinator Coach Henry Miller. We've had offensive coordinator Coach Mark Frederick, as well as the head ball coach himself, Coach Terrence Graves, talk to us about the team. Trying to figure out where this team is going to go into the 2025 season. A lot of pieces to rebuild and to add and replace on this football team this year. So, you know, just a great show we got lined up. Hope everybody had a great week. NCAA basketball is officially over with. College basketball, the Florida Gators. I didn't see this one coming. Now, I told you guys in my bracket last week when we discussed it, I said I had Auburn and Duke in the national title when we was looking at the Final Four, but ultimately it came down to Florida and Houston. Of all the two schools that I never saw that one coming this year, but Florida, no doubt about it, went on a run in the NCAA tournament. They went on a run as well during the SEC tournament. They were a really good team throughout the year. They pulled it off, and they are now the NCAA basketball national champions on the men's side. Then we look on the women's side. How about UConn? Getting past South Carolina. Coach Dunn, I thought, could have had that one in it, but it got away from her early. And South Carolina never could quite really regain themselves in that game. And UConn, our 2024-2025 women's basketball national champion. So both Florida and University of Connecticut, men and women basketball champions, and, you know, having an opportunity as well as talking to Coach KJ, Coach Kevin Johnson at Southern University, and then Coach Carlos Funches. Hats off to them. Tremendous job both those coaches did this year as we wrap up basketball and kind of put a bow on it at this point, because now moving forward is basically just NBA and baseball. So, but to put a bow on, I mean, the NBA. So to put a bow on what's going on there, you know, it was what a hell of a season for the women's basketball team, wrapping up as the regular season champs, as well as then going on taking on the SWAC tournament, beating Jackson State, beating Alcorn. You win the SWAC tournament. They go on into the NCAA tournament and become the first SWAC women's basketball team to ever win an NCAA tournament game. It was the first four in. It was the top 16, I mean, the two 16 seeds playing against each other. And they get a victory over UC San Diego and then move on to have to take on the number one seed in the nation and the number one seed in that region, the UCLA Bruins on the women's side, which was a tough game. Southern's defense on the women's side gave them fits and gave them hell for about a half of basketball, but then on the other side, you saw the separation with the efficiency of shooting offensively for UCLA. And then for Southern's men, you know, Coach Johnson in his second year goes and wins the SWAC regular season title. But unfortunately, Southern fell short in the quarterfinal of the SWAC basketball tournament to our rival Grambling State. And Grambling gets the victory, moves on. Southern season comes to an end, and you know, we talked to Coach KJ about the possibility of postseason. He said the NCAA changed the rule a couple years ago. It used to be regular season champs got automatic bids into the NIT. And I thought a lot of our fans talking with them and having conversations, we all believe that at some point maybe Southern, with the season that they had with non-conference victories against Louisiana Tech and against Tulsa, and then just the losing – three games during the regular season in conference play by a combined 3 points. Twice to Alabama State, 1 point there, 1 point in Baton Rouge, and then 1 point loss on the road at Bethune-Cookman. You thought the body of work and the resume would have been enough to get Southern into postseason on the men's side, but it was not. And so now we have to rebuild. We have to look at what the future is going to look like in this program going into year three of Coach Kevin Johnson. But I think nonetheless, man, when you look at that program, it is definitely headed in the right direction. And he talked about it, finding that experience, bringing back guys with experience. That was the success that he accredited to Alabama State. Alabama State, of course, winning the SWAC basketball tournament, the only team to sweep Southern during the regular season. They go on into the NCAA tournament. They win a game over St. Francis in the opening round and then move on to take on Auburn, who was the number one seed this year. But I think overall, when you look at the direction, not only of basketball at Southern, but basketball as a whole in the SWAC, I think we're starting to see things move forward and move up better than what we've seen in the past. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to have the conversation today about basketball coaches, about athletic departments, and where are we looking at and going into the future, and can we eventually, as a conference, play ourselves out of that first 16 seed matchup, or do we like that first 16 seed? It gives you an opportunity to win a game against a formidable opponent, and at the same time, the conference gets a payout from the NCAA and the tournament itself. So that's the conversations I want to have today, because, you know, a lot of people say, well, we get tired of being the 16. Can we get the 15, 14 seed if we can continue to boost our body of work as a conference? And that's the question, the million-dollar question that we're willing to see. But I think we're headed in the right direction on both men and women. We saw Alcorn for the second consecutive year on the women's side competing for a SWAC championship as they They played in the championship last year against Jackson State and then this year against Southern. So every year, Alcorn is that team knocking at the door on the women's side. Then on the men's, as I continue talking about building, look at Reggie Theus and Bethune-Cookman. Bama State this year. You look at Jackson State and Coach Mo Williams. Programs are starting to build up. Now, Texas Southern did not seem like the Texas Southern of the past this year. We've seen Texas Southern get hot in the tournament and go on and win the title out of the tournament, but this year Texas Southern just didn't seem to be the upper echelon of the conference as we saw Bethune-Cookman and Jackson State being right there. And so, man, this is going to be interesting as we talk about some basketball, get into football on the other end, talking about the spring game. 1 o'clock today, if you're just tuning in, the spring game at A.W. Mumford Stadium. Now, don't go out there expecting fireworks. Don't pull up thinking it's the Bayou Classic, all right? The coaches aren't going to show you too much, but it does give you an opportunity. It's football in the air, and it gives you a chance to see some of these guys, who's returning, who's new, get a chance to see the coaches at work. And so once you culminate all that together, it should create a great day right there on the bluff. As we got softball as well, and that's what we're going to be talking to next after we come out of this break. Coach Brittany Williams, Southern University head softball coach, going to talk to us about the weekend and what they have in store for you as the fans and for the young ladies as they're taking on Texas Southern this weekend. So, Mike, let's get ready to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we have Coach Brittany Williams, and we'll talk some Southern University and SWAC softball. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. It's 7:18 a.m. I'm Perry White. Thank everybody that's tuned in on the radio across the Baton Rouge Capital City area on 107.3 FM and everybody watching and listening across our YouTube and Facebook Lives and everywhere else. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify, wherever you may be listening. Want to appreciate you guys for tuning in this morning. Anytime, whether you go back and listen after the show, sharing it, whatever the case, appreciate you guys for the support. And as we continue to move on with today's show, I'm out of the studio, but that does not stop the Jaguar Journal, as we got a very special guest this morning. She is the head softball coach over at Southern University. No stranger to the show, Coach Brittany Williams. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. Good morning, Jaguar Nation.
All right, big weekend over at Southern University for you guys as you're getting things going. It is senior weekend. Let's talk about senior weekend. Coach playing Texas Southern, a team you and Texas Southern knocking on the door, and you get the victory against Texas Southern yesterday, 6-5. Let's talk about this senior weekend before we get into the game.
Okay. Yes, we're really excited about this weekend, getting to honor those seniors, and it's a special one for me, this class. I did not recruit this class. However, this is the first class that was underneath my belt. So I've had all 4 years with these guys. They know me. They are great leaders for the team. So it's a very special one, being able to honor these guys today.
How many seniors are we looking at on this softball team that we're going to lose?
We have 5. Four that's played the 4 years with me, and one she's a graduating senior, so came in with the dual enrollment classes, bio major, and decided to graduate a year early so she can jump, get a head start into her career. So I think that's awesome as women, too, getting out there. And bio, I mean, that's hard to graduate a year early in. So I'm really super proud of her getting that job done and giving me the years that she had to help us succeed, and now she's going out, you know, in the real world. So I'm excited for her.
It was the name of the rest of these seniors, so we know who they are, because they're about to be some alums of Southern University.
Yes. So we have Alani Otley. She's number one. She's our third baseman. Been starting there for 3 years now. We have Alana Mark, who is my first baseman. She was all SWAC last year. Assuming going to be all SWAC this year as well. Definitely going to miss her. We have Alyssa Castaneda, who is my shortstop and second baseman. She's played both for me in the past 4 years, started since she's been a freshman as well. And then we have Asia George, who is my center fielder, been out there for 4 years. I mean, can cover literally the whole field if I needed her to. So Those are my guys. And then Jaclyn Frazier, she's the one that I mentioned was the bio major.
And we look back last week as we're talking about these seniors, but the team as a whole, you were on the road at Prairie View. You guys win the series 2-1. You win game one and game three of the series. And then now you come home this weekend, senior weekend, game one yesterday against a really tough Texas Southern team. You guys sneak it out, get it done 6-5. Talk about this team and the progression that's going on in the season as you guys are above 500 now in conference play.
Yes, that's something that we've been – that was our goal. That's something that we've been working on. The PV win was huge for us. PV hasn't lost a series in, I want to say, over 3 years now. So we gave them that first series loss, and that motivated us to keep pushing. We have been on a journey since California. We've been talking about it's a marathon, so getting hot towards the end. And these girls have been digging. They've been grinding. They've been listening. They've been applying. And it's kind of been our MO the whole time. So I'm glad to see that they are able to see that their work coming out.
You got game two today against Texas Southern. First pitch is going to be at 12 noon. And then game three today is going to be at 2:30. So for people that's out around the bluff on the yard today, checking out the Southern University spring football game, make sure to get over for the Southern University softball senior weekend. Anything special going on this weekend over at the stadium?
Yes, so 11:30 we'll be honoring the seniors. They will kind of give their favorite memories about the program and give their advice back to the team as well. So 11:30 we'll start that, and then the game starts at 12. I mean, like you mentioned, we have a lot going on the bluff today. We have baseball as well after us. So you might as well go ahead and pack up your stuff and pack up your lunch and then come on out and enjoy a good day of football, softball, and baseball at Southern.
Let me ask you this, Coach, now for you guys' game. It's going to be beautiful while you guys are playing. Is the softball stadium crawfish friendly for those fans out there who may want to eat a little crawfish and sit back and watch you guys play?
It is definitely crawfish friendly. I do ask that you bring a pound for the coach. I will let you do that. Just bring me a pound. That's it.
Y'all hear it. Now the coach say bring her a pound. Coach Williams say if you're going to bring some crawfish, don't forget about her. And don't forget about those seniors as well, as they've been giving their hard work for Southern University on the softball side. Coach, let's kind of look at the SWAC standings right quick. And you go and we talk about some of these teams as, you know, it'll be before you know it, we'll be talking about the SWAC softball tournament. But let's start over in the East right now. And starting at the bottom, Mississippi Valley State 0-18 in conference play. They're 2-30 on the season right now, riding a 13-game losing streak. Alabama A&M, the Bulldogs, at 6-10 in conference play, 15-21 overall in conference play. Then Jackson State at 9-6 in conference play, 19-18. Overall, now we look at the top three teams over in the East. Alabama State at 10-6. They're 12-28 on the season. Bethune-Cookman, 12-5 in conference play, 19-23 on the season. And then at the top of the SWAC East, Florida A&M, the Rattlers, are 12-4 in conference play, 16-7 in conference play. The Rattlers are riding a three-game win streak. The Bethune-Cookman Wildcats are riding a six-game win streak over in the SWAC East in softball. Coach, anything you know about those programs on the East side?
Yes, I mean, I've been saying this for a long time. Fam is tough. They got it all. And then they have a new coach over there who's a great coach and also a great person as well. So that side, it's going to be tough. I'm ready to see how the rest plays out because the records are close. They're at the top right now, but, you know, like you said, Bethune is just one behind them. So I'm interested to see how that side's going to play out.
Now let's look over in the SWAC West where we reside at the bottom. Alcorn State, 4-11 on the season in conference play. They're 9-20 overall. UAPB, 5-11 in conference play, 10-24 overall on the season. Then there's Grambling State at 5-6 in conference play. They're 12-19 overall on the season. Then here goes Southern. You guys are right here at 7-6 in conference play, at 16-17 on the season, currently riding in a two-game win streak. Texas Southern, this weekend's opponent in Baton Rouge, they're 10-5 on in conference play and 10-17 overall, and then at the top, you talked about the team Prairie View. You guys were able to win the series against them. They're 12-3 in conference play, 18-17 overall. Talk about that SWAC West, because that's where we're at. These are the teams we're going to see the most. And it has been a tough sled, but you guys have found a way at 7-6 in conference play to pull off some victory.
Yeah, so we're a series behind everyone. So we still have Graham to play at the end. That's a makeup series. So our MO right now is to go ahead and get Texas Southern, looking to sweep them so we can solidify one of those top spots. So we're going to continue to work to do that and see how the rest plays out. We just have to do our part.
Looking at Texas Southern, they're two, you guys are three in the SWAC West. What is it about Texas Southern when you scout them and prepare the young ladies to go out there and take them on? What do you see on film as well as on paper of Texas Southern?
They're very good offensively. 1-9, they always find a way to put the ball in play. They're just young. So for us, we're a more experienced team. We have all five seniors that are contributing to our roster right now. So letting that experience kind of overpower what TSU is bringing to us. We have a stronger staff in the mound as well. So I'm excited to see what my pitching staff brings to the game today.
Talking about your pitching staff, and then you looking at your staff. Talk about the staff, the who helps you make this thing run each and every day.
Yes, so Miranda Roldan is our ace. She typically pitches the first and the last game for the series, has held it down to minimal scores. As you can see, our wins or our losses have been by one run. So she has definitely kept us in the game. And then behind her, we have Kyra Williams. We have Aaliyah Zambala, Jordan Jennings. We have Shakirius and Emma, who normally come in and close for us as well. And what I really love about this staff is that all of them can hit. So that's been fun, making a lineup with the pitchers in the lineup that allow them to hit, which will allow a position player to focus, you know, strictly on defense. So that's given us a little advantage.
And for everybody out there that's listening, softball, of course, it is senior weekend against Texas Southern. Then softball will be back, be on the road on Monday, taking on Xavier down in New Orleans at 11 o'clock at 1:30. So for all our listeners down in New Orleans, if you want to get a chance to check out Coach Brittany Williams and Southern University softball, they'll be in New Orleans on Monday, first pitch at 11 a.m. against Xavier and the second pitch at 1:30 on Monday. Coach, where is that game going to be played down in New Orleans?
It's on Magazine Street. So okay. I'm not sure what field it is, but they switched locations. They used to play at the MLB Park, but now they're on Magazine Street.
And then you'll be back home next weekend hosting Alcorn State. So get a chance to get another series in next week at home for those that are out there listening. Coach, you got anything for the fans before we get ready to get off?
Yes, come check us out. These games have been exciting, like down to the wire. Like, we've been winning them in either extra innings or in the seventh inning. So it's definitely something to see.
But that's the voice of Coach Brittany Williams. She's the head softball coach over at Southern University. It's senior weekend. Get over there and get a chance to check out Southern University today. Game two, first pitch is going to be at 12, and game three, that first pitch is going to be at 2:30. So get a chance to check out Coach Williams. Cheer on those seniors and cheer on Southern as they're in a tough battle with Texas Southern. 2-3 from the SWAC West. So we got to make sure the Jaguars get it done. Hey, Coach, thank you this morning for making time and coming on. And, hey, good luck to you guys today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, let's get ready to take a break. And we come back on the other side, we'll have Dr. Travian Scott, the athletic director, up at Grambling State. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. We're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I am Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. I'm out of the studio today, but nonetheless, it does not stop the show as we keep things going. Good morning to everybody listening across the Baton Rouge Capital City area. On Talk 107.3, glad to have you guys with us and everybody else. So, hey, listen, we're going to have a very on the show this morning. He is no stranger to Southern, as he's a Southern grad, and he's also the head guy up at Grambling University. He's the vice president for intercollegiate athletics. Want to welcome to the show this morning, my man, Dr. Travian Scott. Good morning, Dr. Scott.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hear you well. Mike, how we sound? We good, Mike? Okay, we all good. Mike back at the studio, say we good. Man, Dr. Scott, good to have you on this morning, man. As always, good to have, love to have conversations with you because your honest thought into how you make things work up there at Grambling. And big news for you guys this week is you just named a new head basketball coach. Let's jump into that, coach, Dr. Scott, and talk about your new coach.
Yeah, Patrick Crary, the second, comes to Grambling by way of Florida A&M. Was there for a season, historic season for them. As a matter of fact, I think they were trending, thinking about a 2 or 3 seed before the end of the season, the last, I guess, weekend. Before that, he was at St. Thomas University down in Miami. Prior to that, he was Washington and Venice. In the D.C. DMV area. Extremely bright, articulate, fierce competitor, high IQ guy, recruits his tail off, understands this league, understands where we are resource-wise, but also, you know, is someone who understands the foundational aspects of building a program without losing the momentum that we have now. So I think that's important. When you have those two things, I think it plays well for more of a sustained level of success, right? It's great to win it 1 year, and then the next year you may be, you know, a little inconsistent with it. But I think his approach is something that will play well up on Exit 81.
You look at Grambling basketball last year, you guys go off and win your first NCAA tournament victory ever in school history. This year, you guys win the opening round. You knock off the SWAC regular season champ Southern University, the rival in the court. Huh?
You remember that, huh?
We can't forget that, man. Come on. Look.
Coming out with the regular season champs,
we expected, we were thinking, but when I saw the draw, it's like, man, that's a tough draw. Grambling 3 times in a season is tough. And, you know, getting past Grambling twice in the regular season, we knew it was going to be a tough game as it went into overtime, but you found success when it mattered and winning that quarterfinal game in the SWAC basketball tournament. But for you, with this program headed in the direction, what is your vision for basketball at Grambling State, in which we often talk so much about the G in football, but now basketball is starting to become a reality of a good program at Grambling?
Yeah, and not just basketball, but baseball. I won a championship last year. Soccer's played before this year, played for a championship 5 years straight and won one. No softball's coming along. Track and field, we're taking a little bit of a different approach with. But, you know, football, we anticipate, you know, them turning the corner this year. But, you know, basketball is obviously near and dear to me. But, you know, we've got, you know, two hell of a basketball coaches. Again, two fierce competitors. Two relentless recruiters, you know, two folks who will really, especially in the sense of Pat, will ingratiate himself. But Simmons has ingratiated herself within the community. And so, you know, right now, it's about climbing to the top of the mountain and trying to stay there. You know, we will not exhaust any, we will exhaust all resources to help them get there, obviously, in this new era that we find ourselves in college athletics with the house settlement and NIL and rev sharing and all of those different financial, you know, elements that impact college athletics. But yeah, you know, I often say, and I said this last year, you know, going into any SWAC basketball weekend, I've never in the last 2 years gone into a weekend thinking that both of our basketball teams were going to lose. And with the addition of Coach Crary to replace Coach Jackson, I'm going to feel that way moving forward. And so, you know, that doesn't mean we're going to win them all, but that means that we've got the best person or people in place to do this job, and we expect them to be able to compete for championships right away. So, you know, really excited about that. You know, I'm looking forward to it. Coach Crary came in, I think he got in on Thursday. We spent all Thursday night where he and his family obviously spend most of the morning with him. And I've already got a call from him this morning, right? And so, you know, we're moving the program forward under his leadership, and we're excited about what's to come.
As an athletic director, of course, as fans, we often sit back and we'll throw names here and there for jobs. And, you know, we often feel we can be athletic directors from our keypads, typing something in or sitting on our couch. But the actual process of looking for a coach, and in particular this one, basketball, what was that process like for you, especially at such short notice with losing your previous coach and then having to go out and find somebody to replace?
All right. I'm going to give you a timeline. You know, I'm all things truth, and I'm very candid. You know, first and foremost, you obviously appreciate, you know, calls of interest and letters of interest, you know, but it's kind of a mixed bag. You know, sometimes the reality of it is if you got a call and recommend, you're kind of already on the outside. You know, so it's that point. Not saying that that's always 100% true, but in most cases it is, right? So here's the reality. 12:36 p.m. on Wednesday, Coach Jackson makes us aware of him, you know, moving forward to Alabama A&M, right? After those conversations were held, then we go into, you know, a mode that obviously we planned for, but we didn't expect to happen, right? So what does that look like? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to let your president know, right? So there's a communication piece of it. So that happened. Then for us, state law requires you having to post the job, right? We knew that the portal was open. The portal would be closing here in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. We knew if, you know, we waited on, you know, having the conversations to bring, you know, potential head coaches in, that we would lose that momentum, right? We knew that, again, in this new era, players can transfer from year to year. When a coach leaves, a student athlete can leave. They could either go with him, or they've got 30 days if the portal's not even open to decide they want to get in. So all of these things are at play. So at that point, make the president aware, immediately move to have the job posted open just to put us in a position where we could have an accelerated search. I said yesterday we were very comprehensive but very intentional and specific as to what we wanted in terms of a profile of a coach. The good thing about being notified on Wednesday was that Final Four and the coaches' convention took place Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? So, you know, once we got the communication piece up to Dr. LaMail, the HR piece taken care of, now we're working on travel, right? So we're headed to San Antonio. You know, I obviously could have jumped on a plane by myself, but decided to drive because I wanted to make sure we had a couple of athletic senior staff members with us to be able to help us get more done. So we head down Thursday night. We get out late. We get there 10, 11 o'clock Thursday night. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, we go, you know, all out. We're having structured conversations, not necessarily interviews. getting to know folks, having conversations, breakfast meetings, lunch meetings, dinner meetings, you know, having sidebars at events, and we began to kind of amass a list of candidates that we knew were strong. All the while the job posting is open, and again, it's still, you know, in that comprehensive setting. So from there, job has to stay up for 5 days. You know, HR at Gremlin did a wonderful job, you know, putting up with me and my shenanigans regarding this search. And so, you know, we were able to, because we were up against that 5 day timeline, to start interviewing on Monday. So, you know, Monday morning at 7:30, I'm you know, convening a panel, charging the committee, and we're interviewing Monday evening, Tuesday, you know, late Tuesday night. I'm going through a process with our team, you know, and trying to figure out where we're going in terms of who's the guy, all right, and who's the second and the third guy, right, if something, you know, falls through, obviously. Then we go into, of course, having conversations with the president, making a recommendation. Then we have to talk to agents, representatives. Then we've got to worry about the logistical piece of it. How do we get that candidate here with his family in a short amount of time? And Obviously, you know, and I kind of skipped the save the date on Tuesday. On Tuesday, when we did the save the date, we did not know who the candidate was going to be. We knew we would have a press conference on Friday, regardless of who it was. Right. And so, you know, we set that expectation early because that's the way it has to be. Again, in this new climate of college athletics and understanding what it's going to take to keep the momentum going in this program. So I'm very excited about Coach Crary. I'm very proud of our committee members, Taylor Stewart, my right hand and chief of staff, Terry Lilly, our dean of students, Marcus Kennedy, over student engagement, Tavius Maddox, we call him junior AD, was our student representative. Who am I missing? Theo Calle, one of our vice presidents of strategic research in Title III. And so, you know, we all banded together, you know, with HR, with a COO's office, you know, to get this done. Coach Crary was the best candidate. I'm excited because, you know, you have these guys, man, and basketball has got really competitive, right? You know, and sometimes, you know, you think you have somebody and, you know, you don't see them in their element. Well, I've had an opportunity to witness Coach Crary, his passion, his fire, his knowledge of the game, his personality, how he handles his players firsthand. And I've also seen him, you know, go against, you know, opposing coaches in this league, you know, with the depth that we have now. Johnny Jones has been to the tournament. Byron Smith at Prairie View has been to the tournament. You know, your guy KJ down there is just, you know, whooped up on everybody pretty good this year. Now you got Dante going to Alabama A&M, right? Reggie Theus is a future NBA Hall of Famer. He won. Of course, Pat was at Alabama A&M. Alabama State won the NCAA tournament. And I don't know if people realize it because we like to pick on Mississippi Valley, but George Ivory has coached in an NCAA tournament before. That's how much depth we have with these head men's basketball coaches in our league. And so with that, you needed a guy who really had the presence, who really understood what it meant to oppose those guys and come out victorious, and we have that in Coach Crary. So we're very excited, very happy about the process that lended itself to bringing Coach Crary, Emily, and their family here. And we're excited, man. We're excited.
Yeah, you're talking about Coach Ivory up there at Valley. He beat Winthorpe in the NCAA tournament back in 2010 when UAPB beat Texas Southern for the SWAC championship. So you're right. You look around the conference, and I talked about this early on in the show. Are we starting to see an uptick in SWAC basketball compared to what we saw maybe a decade ago with the conference overall strength?
Yeah. I mean, these guys can coach. And that, I mean, it's flat out true. These guys can really coach, right? And you know, we would make a joke, man. Our staff, you know, we would call the SWAC tournament the Johnny Jones Invitation, right? I mean, it was one year they were eight seeds. You know, people were getting excited about beating them in the regular season, and they were eight seed, and they got to the tournament, and the light came on, right? And so, you know, the quality of coaches, again, it's a trickle down effect. When the head coaching is good, the assistant coaching is good, the recruiting then begins to improve, and then the quality of play on the floor improves as well. So, no, we've got a lot of great coaches in this league, a lot of potential for the league moving forward on not just the men's basketball side, but look at the women's basketball side. I mean, you know, Coach Funches is a legend. Coach Pugh just retired. They hadn't made a decision there yet. Coach at Texas Southern is pretty good. I think our coaches is, again, matches that profile. She's young, she's energetic, she's bold, she recruits well. You know, so you got Janetta Hayes back at Alabama State, a hell of a coach. You got Don Thornton at Alabama A&M, a flat-out coach. You got, you know, pretty good coaches in Florida. You know, Margaret at Jackson State did a pretty good job this year, beat us in the first round and made it to the semis. So Valley made it to the tournament for the first time ever. So, again, the product of basketball is improving in our league. And when that happens, you got to make sure that you have someone on the sideline to be able to stand up to what those other teams are able to present, you know, night in and night out.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Scott, and we probably got about 5-6 more minutes here. what seems to be the biggest obstacle for us as a whole as we continue to improve our footprint in basketball nationally?
Out of conference wins. I think so. I think out of non-conference wins. Again, and we're it's starting to become more frequent, but not frequent enough to where, you know, we'll get out of being a 1B league. You know, again, you got a team like Southern. I think you guys were, what, 14-4 in the league, 15-3? You know, traditional conferences, you would get an automatic qualifier. But because we don't win enough out-of-conference games, because the RPI, right, aren't as strong holistically, you know, we're having, you know, 1B situation. So I think that's the largest obstacle. Obviously, folks will say resources and money and NIL, and that certainly, you know, may be the case. But, you know, we've got to find creative ways to ensure, you know, we remain competitive. And, you know, I know we are, and I've been told a couple of our counterparts within the league are doing it as well. So, you know, you just got to find, you know, your specific niche. Obviously, as HBCUs, we've got, you know, some unique attributes and qualifiers that you know lend the students to have a little bit different of an experience. You couple that with hell of a basketball, and you really got something, right? And so, you know, those would be the things that I would say. You know, obviously, we're not, you know, paying basketball players $1 million, right? Our coaching pools aren't even that. Hell, our coaching pools probably aren't even that for football when you total it out. And so, you know, that presents a bit of a challenge, but we still have enough resources to be viable and competitive in the marketplace.
Let me ask you this as we move forward, and this is one of the conversations I've been having over the past couple of weeks, looking at NIL. How do we then maneuver moving forward in this ever-so-changing world of name, image, and likeness, and making sure, because I've heard from multiple coaches, we can recruit a kid. The first thing most of these kids are asking is how much.
How much? That's not most of the kids. It's all the kids. How much? How much you giving me, coach? Coach, they're offering me $100,000. Coach, they're offering me $50,000, $25,000, $35,000. I want to be clear, too. I think, you know, we kind of confuse this deal, right? We say NIL. NIL is external to college athletics departments, right? So when you say NIL, no athletic director is going to worry about, I'm not going to say not worry about, but no athletic director controls NIL on the surface, right? There's some other things we can do. We can leverage our corporate partners to support these student athletes NIL-wise, but these companies are choosing who they want to represent them through their names, images, and likenesses, right? So, you know, we tell our student athletes, clean up your social media, watch what you share, right? Well, watch the music that you play, like things like that, because, you know, if we're trying to foster that relationship with a student athlete, that company doesn't want to be involved with vulgarity and disrespect, right? So that's one thing. And I think we kind of missed the boat on that. You know, NIL is becoming internalized, and it's starting to morph into a more revenue-sharing model. Matter of fact, it's not starting to, it is. So it's rev-sharing now. If you do things with NIL, again, athletic departments, you can facilitate those deals, but they aren't what people would think. Well, what are y'all doing for NIL? Well, we're leveraging our partners. We're doing this, we're doing that. But partner ultimately decides, again, who represents them. The revenue sharing model, obviously, is a $22.5 million proposition. All right? That's how much revenue we can share with our student athletes with 4% incremental increases in the next 2 years. Obviously, our SWAC counterpart aren't distributing $22.5 million worth of revenue, but that is the maximum that you can share. So any amount of revenue you bring in, you can pay out. And so it's about really, you know, crafting a model of revenue generation for your teams and your sports. And with that also comes roster limits. So now you got 105 for football. We've already adopted that. I believe you got 28 or 29 or something like that for soccer and 25 for softball. I think you got 15 for men's and women's basketball. So now you've got roster limits that you can scholarship up to those limits, right? So in some sports, the value is in the scholarship, and in some sports, the value is in generating revenue. Who's going to get the revenue? Well, in most cases, the sports that generate the revenue are going to be able to receive the revenue. Football, men's basketball, women's basketball, that's about where it stops. All right. Everybody else will get the value, scholarship-based value, in being able to get increased scholarships for their sports. Well, that's valuable because scholarships are some of these schools, $75,000 a year. So that has a severe impact on the budget. So how do we balance our books, redistribute or distribute revenue, raise scholarships? I'm going to tell you how. We've got to buy tickets. Stop asking for freebies. All right? We can't eat your freebie. I tell people that all the time. My kids can't eat that. A knee brace for an offensive lineman is $1,000 a pair. All right? We live, our lifeblood is revenue generated from season tickets, corporate sponsorships, right? And so we've got to generate revenue and find revenue streams in as many ways as possible to support our student athletes. All right? I know I got a lot of friends down there, just like I have a lot of friends up here, but they all buy tickets. Because I'm not giving them away. So, you laughing? I'm so serious.
Look, I'm serious with you because I'm not an athletic director, and I don't even work in athletics. But yet, I know you as an athletic director. I can only imagine the calls that you get because I get outrageous DMs and messages all the time of people asking me to get them free tickets and free stuff to yeah, events.
What,
so
what was I can only imagine. Straight out of comp ticket? Yeah, that's a real thing, right?
Listen, Dr. Scott, I'm up against a tough time, man. Go ahead, give me a close out for me.
No, I just want to make sure that we all know that I know we're here to talk about basketball, but also understanding where we are in terms of the revenue piece of this deal. And, you know, whether you're a Southern fan, a Grambling fan, a Jackson fan, a Fam fan, you know, buy tickets, support your student athletes, and I promise you all, you'll continue to see the level of play in this league across the board, you know, raise. So we'll raise the standard. It's some talented ADs and coaches, and even presidents in this league, and you know, everybody needs to get on board and support your institution. So that's how I close this morning.
Thank you, Dr. Scott, for coming on, man. Congratulations to you hiring a coach. We'll watch and see how things turn out for you up there at Grambling. You know, we ain't necessarily cheering for you, but, hey, we'll sit back and watch and see how things turn out for you guys. And, man, appreciate you for coming on this morning. As always, I enjoy the conversation.
Hey, man, thank you.
All right, that's the voice of Dr. Travian Scott. Listen, let's get ready to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll continue more of the Jaguar Journal, all right?